This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Israel unleashes the most intense barrage in Lebanon in years, going after Hezbollah targets. We say goodbye to those plastic bags at your local supermarket and another robbery attempt at a Southern California mall.
First, though, we're going to start with some breaking news, and this is in West LA. You might see some smoke and some flames over there. Susie, what you got?
Well, there is a boarded up commercial building that is on fire, and this is at Bundy and Olympic, and all lanes of Bundy are closed between Olympic and LaGrange. There's flames coming out of the ceiling here. Firefighters taking a defensive position. We'll have more in traffic. Brian and Vicki.
All right. Thanks, Susie. And again, Brian Douglas, Vicki Moore, 20 minutes of nonstop news. Big story today. A newlywed was shot in the leg at South Coast Plaza during a robbery attempt, and they were after his Rolex and his Lambo. We get the latest live right now from our John Baird.
I know in the past that Orange County officials have said they'd had a problem with criminals coming down from L.A. to the O.C. to rob and steal. Now, this was the third case in the last 3 months of an attempted robbery at one of the upscale malls here in Orange County. The first one was in July at Fashion Island in Newport Beach, where a woman was run over and killed by the thieves as they drove away. But last night here at South Coast Plaza, 8:40 p.m., a suspect tries to rob a man in the parking lot. We understand that the suspect tried to steal the victim's Rolex watch and his Lamborghini, and he actually shot the victim in the leg during the attempt. The victim had just been married the night before. People here in the OC tell me it's getting bad.
I know, it's terrible. It's just a terrible thing. That's what's going on out there. I can't believe this. It's sad, very sad.
Now, in a similar case in Newport Beach last month, some armed thieves tried to rob two guys in the Fashion Island parking lot at night. Both victims had high-end expensive cars. One of them had his watch and wallet stolen. We don't know if any of these robbery attempts were related in any way.
John Baird, thank you. Well, those thick plastic bags at the grocery store will be banned. Starting in 2026, a shopper outside a Whole Foods store reacted to the ban.
I think that they should be able to choose whether they are able to get the paper or plastic and not have no choice at all.
California Public Interest Research Group says the new law finally meets the intent of the original bag ban that happened a decade ago. 12 states, including California, already have some sort of statewide plastic bag ban in place, and hundreds of cities in 28 states also have their own plastic bans in place. When the ban eventually kicks in, shoppers who don't bring their own reusable bags will be offered paper bags.
The Justice Department is saying today that the man accused in the apparent assassination attempt, this is the second one, of Donald Trump, wrote a note months earlier saying that he intended to kill Donald Trump. Prosecutors say he addressed the letter, "Dear World," and it was dropped off at the home of a person who contacted the feds following the arrest last weekend. The box, which also contained ammo, a metal pipe, and other things, not opened by the person until the guy was taken into custody. We'll talk more about this with our CBS News congressional correspondent, Scott McFarland, coming up in just a few minutes.
Israeli strikes have killed more than 180 and wounded more than 700 others in Lebanon. This is the deadliest and most intense barrage in nearly two decades. Strike happened as the Israeli military warned residents in southern and eastern Lebanon to evacuate their homes ahead of a widening air campaign against Hezbollah. Thousands of Lebanese have fled to the south. Chris Livesay reports from Tel Aviv.
The onslaught comes after a week of strategic blows to Hezbollah, from exploding pagers and walkie-talkies to a strike in southern Beirut that killed the top commander of the U.S.-designated terror group that's been lobbing rockets into Israel for nearly a year. Some of them landing in the suburbs of Haifa over the weekend, not far from the Rambam Hospital, Israel's second largest.
Israeli military announced that it hit some 300 targets, saying it was going after Hezbollah and their weapon sites.
Search underway for the shooters who killed four people, injured 17 others in a weekend attack on a night spot in Birmingham, Alabama. Cops say they think the shooting late on Saturday was a paid hit on one of the victims.
Investigators who found more than 100 shell casings at the scene say they think there were multiple shooters.
The priority is to get these shooters, find these shooters, and get them off our streets. That will require the assistance of community members.
In the aftermath, two men and a woman were found on a sidewalk with gunshot wounds and were pronounced dead at the scene.
There's been so many people get shot since I moved here.
Police say an additional male gunshot victim was pronounced dead at a hospital.
That is CBS News correspondent Christiane Benavides.
Well, it's going to be a busy day on Capitol Hill. The House has to cut a deal to avoid a government shutdown. And now Democrats are expected to make some noise on gun control. And there's also some new information on the second assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump that we've been talking about, that on his golf course in Florida. Joining us live with the latest is CBS congressional correspondent Scott McFarlane. Good morning.
Scotty Mack, good morning.
Vicki, good morning.
I must admit, I always find it a little bit weird that we're counting up assassination attempts now. It's quite something. So we are learning more about the second guy, the second attempted assassination of Donald Trump. Tell us what's new.
In about 20 minutes, the Department of Justice is going to ask a judge in Florida to hold Ryan Routh in pretrial jail, keep him locked up pending trial in his case. So far, he only faces two firearms charges. That's what they brought against him. But in court shortly, they're going to make a larger, more provocative argument, some of which you just referenced a few minutes ago, that he didn't just have guns, that he had 11 bullets loaded, one in the chamber, that he was just off the sixth hole putting green in the bushes nearby, and that he left this letter in a box with an acquaintance who brought it to police a few days after Ryan Routh became national headlines. And in that note, allegedly, is a statement that this was an attempted assassination. So they're going to make an argument here that he wasn't just a guy with unlawful guns, but a guy with unlawful guns and a plan.
Scott, the government, the shutdown, apparently that's not going to happen. What's the latest on that whole situation?
Yeah, they're going to find a way, starting this afternoon, to get a bill passed by mid to late week with a group of Democrats and Republicans large enough to push it through, which means a bipartisan group. It just keeps the government funded basically where it is now, with more money for, you guessed it, Secret Service, too, to help better protect the presidential nominees. And it funds the government through December 20th. That puts the onus on a lame duck Congress to do this again just before a new Congress and, oh, by the way, a new president take over. That's a perilous time to have this next standoff because it's also in the wake of an election that could be contentious, could be contested. I think the risk of a government shutdown or impasse in December is by orders of magnitude larger than it is this week.
Losing you a little bit on the cell signal. Hopefully it'll continue a little while longer. So speaking of contentious and contested and words like that, let's talk about gun control and what the Democrats are trying to do now.
Yeah, with my apologies, being in Washington, lots of force fields here on cell signals. This has been a lost Congress for gun control. Democrats have tried a whole bunch of ways. Not one's gotten a floor debate. Not one's gotten a vote. There'll be a news conference here again today trying to push some background checks or assault weapons bans. This is political messaging ahead of an election, which Democrats would like to be a bit about gun control.
All right. Scott McFarlane, CBS congressional correspondent. Thank you very much, as always. We appreciate it. It is 7:39.
How much would you have to make a year to keep you from worrying about money? As mortgage rates fall, home sales may soon rise. All coming up as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Well, the chair of the Federal Trade Commission says the proposed Kroger and Albertsons merger, it's a bad idea. She said on 60 Minutes that if the parent companies of Ralph's and Vaughn's combine, it's going to hurt shoppers in the long run, despite the company's claim it would actually help them lower prices.
Even if those efficiencies arise, if the company is not checked by competition, it won't have an incentive to pass those benefits on to the consumer, because those consumers may not have anywhere else to go.
Now, that merger is being challenged in court. So the CBS Money Watch price tracker found that grocery prices have actually gone up 25% since 2020. FTC says it's due to higher manufacturing costs, lingering supply chain issues, believe it or not, from COVID.
Mortgage rates have been coming down, but will it really make a difference in the housing market? Here's Jennifer Hodges.
Average mortgage rates as of Friday were about 6%, but what does that really mean for the housing market?
Only 4% of Americans would realistically be able to consider buying a home at a 6% rate.
Catherine Watt is with CNET Money.
But we do expect to see home buying pick up in the spring compared to this year where it was at record lows.
In the past, 6% has been considered a really good rate, but with people remembering the 2% and 3%, that's changed a bit.
We could see two more rate cuts this year, potentially by another 0.5% in total, but that is subject to change.
Currently, 6 out of 7 homeowners in the United States have mortgage rates under 6%. I'm Jennifer Hodges, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Well, after 2 weeks, fire crews are finally getting the upper hand on two of the largest brush fires here in Southern California. It was the bridge, it was the airport fires. They're both 70% contained or more. But Pete Demetrio reports the final phase of getting this fire out, or these fires out, it's going to be tough.
On the airport fire, Orange County Fire Authority Captain Larry Kurtz says the interior portion of the blaze is still hard to reach.
The last parts we need to get to containment around are some of the most difficult terrain that we can face on this fire. So we have hand crews up there every single day working with hand tools, trying to scrape away the dirt to create those fire breaks and get us to that 100% containment.
On the bridge fire, the toughest portion is on the northern flank in areas just beyond the farthest point of the fire's advance, according to Fire Information Officer Nathan Judy.
We still saw some smoke up there towards Vincent Gap. We've had firefighters that were hiking in, making a circle around the area that couldn't get to, putting containment line there just as a secondary containment line. But really, it's our hotshot crews that are out there trying to tie this line up together.
Aircraft, both helicopter and fixed wing, are hitting specific hotspots and laying retardant down to improve containment. But on both fires, a major concern is the higher temperatures that will exist for at least the next 2 to 3 days. Pete Demetrio, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
New information this morning on a series of destructive morning burglaries of small businesses last week in Huntington Beach. Here's Art Sanders.
Using power tools and heavy equipment, they went from store to store, breaking glass, destroying displays, and generally tearing up each shop early Friday morning. In one case, 3 side-by-side businesses were hit as surveillance video captured the action. A restaurant, a bar and grill, and a barbershop were ransacked, and across town, 2 other small businesses were hit at the same time. The shop owner tells KCAL News she's frustrated and disappointed.
We work so hard, and it's like violating just to see somebody in your business with no regard for, you know, your hard work or anything.
For all the mayhem, the burglars only got away with a few $100s. They used a gray Audi Q8 SUV with no license plates as their getaway car and are still at large. Business owners and police believe this is part of a larger coordinated burglary ring that may have migrated from neighboring cities. I'm Art Sanders, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Well, Kate, the Princess of Wales, has made her first public appearance since she announced she had completed chemotherapy and would return to some public duties. Kate and her husband, Prince William, were seen attending church with King Charles and Queen Camilla in Scotland. This was yesterday. Kate announced 2 weeks ago that she had completed treatment 6 months after revealing that she had an undisclosed type of cancer. She said she would undertake limited engagements to the end of the year. She said in a video that the path to full recovery would be long and that it would take, and she would take it, day by day.
In 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General highlighted what he called an epidemic of loneliness. Reporter Alyssa Clancy talked with Alvin Thomas, a professor of human studies, who says men are carrying the brunt of the loneliness epidemic.
My mother used to tell my father that he was stuffing down his feelings. A generation ago, we didn't prioritize mental health education for our boys. We just didn't have the words, the language, says Professor Thomas.
There's a difference in the language that we see used in every culture has its own vernacular, its own language. And I think there's a specific language and way of speaking about emotions and feelings that exist in mental health spaces. And I think often that language does not necessarily translate in the same way for men. So it's a little bit more challenging for men to open up in those spaces when either they don't see themselves in those spaces or the language that is used does not necessarily match their cultural artifacts and whatnot.
The good news is there are many online spaces, podcasts, men's groups, Zoom groups that you can access for mental health.
That is reporter Alyssa Clancy.
The battle between Israel and Hezbollah continues to escalate today, even at this moment. Israeli warplanes have struck at least 300 sites across Lebanon, targeting Hezbollah. The strikes have killed at least 180 people. The terrorist group retaliated by firing rockets and drones into the north of Israel. We talked to Middle East Institute's Brian Katulis about the conflict.
This is being called the deadliest barrage since the 2006 Israel-Hezbollah war. And you talked to a friend in southern Lebanon today. They say it's brutal. Yeah?
Yeah, it's brutal. It is targeting the terrorist group Hezbollah, but it does have effects on other people, as we saw last week in these attacks using the pagers and two-way radios, you actually have been civilian casualties. But there is a strong effort here by Israel to essentially take out the command and control structure of this terrorist group, Hezbollah, which is a paramilitary group as well.
Brian, this is, you know, I've got that app on my phone just because I'm a news guy, I guess, but it shows me every time there's an alert in the northern part of the country of Israel. And this thing's been going off constantly. I mean, where is this going to go? Are we, and we're also hearing the possibility of maybe Israeli ground troops entering the country of Lebanon. What do we know about that?
I think if that's the case, if Israel moves in that direction with ground troops into Lebanon, it will actually stretch them quite thin because they have ground troops in Gaza right now, too. What's going on here in the bigger picture is that Israel's facing a war of attrition from multiple fronts, from Hamas in Gaza. That fight still continues from Hezbollah in Lebanon and to the north. And then there's a group of militias in Iraq and Syria, which also has been targeting Israel. And they all have one common feature. They're all very much linked with Iran. I'd add to it the group called the Houthis in Yemen, which is pretty far away, but they've been able to strike central Israel with some of its missiles and drones as well. So we're in uncharted territory. I mean, some who fear for a regional war and say we should avoid a regional war, we actually may be seeing one right now, right before our very eyes.
Israel's technical moves in this effort are pretty interesting, with the pagers that exploded, the walkie-talkies, and there's now a report, although unconfirmed, I'm wondering if you know more about this, that says that they hacked a Lebanese radio station telling people to evacuate.
Yeah, this happens quite a lot. A couple of years ago, when Hassan Nasrallah, who's the head of Hezbollah, was given a speech, they were able to, Israel and its intelligence agencies were able to hack into texts and send texts that were essentially trolling the people who were listening to Hassan Nasrallah. So these sorts of things, I think, are part of warfare these days, information warfare, as well as and we experience it as well, too. I don't know if you noticed recently, the director of national intelligence, Avril Haines, talking about how Iran and many of its proxies were actually backing some of the protests that we've seen in the United States about the Middle East and about the war in Gaza. So this is a form of warfare to try to shape the perceptions in a key center of gravity. And Israel does it all the time in places like Lebanon to try to sow dissent and confusion. I think Israel itself does want to avoid a major ground combat operation for the reason that I said earlier, that it's stretched pretty thin. So that's why they use these tools of information warfare and try to turn them on groups like Hezbollah.
That's Brian Katulis with the Middle East Institute.